Okay, so we saw yesterday that there are altogether seven different words in the Psukim. We explained the drashas of exactly how do we get to this magic number of seven, which proves to us that you have to have seven drishas v'chakiris. If you remember, three of them were written with regard to ir hanidachas, another two in the case of the individual who's Oved Avodah Zarah, and another two in the case of the Edim Zaymin. Three and two and two, that's seven altogether. And the last thing we said yesterday was, therefore, we compare them and we copy and paste and compare and contrast, rather than saying that each case is judged on its own merit and that Ir HaNidachas just needs three investigations. Avodah Zarah just needs two. Edim Zoymin just needs to. No, we don't say that. We say we add them all together, put them all together in one big melting pot, and you get to the magic number of seven. What we left off with yesterday, and this is where we'll take it up, is that the question becomes, are they really comparable? You can't compare apples and oranges. So it's true there is a very large common denominator in the fact that it's all Chayvei Misa, Edim Zoymin, Iranidachas, an individual being Oved Avodah Zarah, that's true. But the Gemara is concerned with the fact that they're actually not comparable, there's big differences. So have a look at the Gemara when the Gemara says, on the fourth line, V'ho loy damya lahadodi. Surely they're not actually comparable to each other. Why? Ir hanidachas lahanach tarti leidamya. Ir hanidachas, with regard to the other two, in other words, Avodah Zarah and Edim Zaymin leidamya, surely not comparable. Shekein memoinon polat. Because in the case of Avodah Zarah and Edim Zaymin, what happens to their money? Nothing happened. Polat means you get saved. Not so in the case of Ir hanidachas. Ir hanidachas, we know, not only do the people, the individuals, get killed, but all their money gets raised to the ground. So that's a completely different set of halachas. So what gives you license to compare the two parashas? Number one. Number two, Avodah Zarah lahanach tarati is also leidamya. The individual being Oved Avodah Zarah is also not comparable to the other two. Why? Shekein b'sayof. Ir HaNidachas, which punishment do they get? They get killed, it's true, but which particular version? Sayof, the sword. So too, Edim Zaymin, at least on occasion, can get the Sayof, depending on what they were trying to inflict. But the Oved Avodah Zarah never gets the Sayof, he gets a completely different punishment. So therefore, you see that so too, it's also not comparable. In a moment, we'll see the Rashi. And finally, so too Edim Zaymin, lahanach tarati lo idamya. So too Edim Zaymin is also not comparable to the other two. Why not? Because shekein srichim hasra'o. As we well know, every avera in the Torah requires hasra'o. It needs a warning, but not so Edim Zaymin. Edim Zaymin, who come to Bezdin, in other words, two Edim come to Bezdin. It turns out they become Zoymimin. That's it. They're put to death. They don't get Hasra. So we see that in each one of these three parashiyos, Ir HaNidachas, Oved Avodah Zarah, and Edim Zoymimin, they all have some unique feature that distinguishes them from the other two. So how can you tell me that we compare and we contrast? Three here, two there, two there. They're all very similar. It's all basically the same thing. And therefore, we add all the numbers and we get to seven. But it's not true. There's a pircha. What does it mean there's a pircha? There's something that surely sets it apart. Look at Rashi. V'ho loy damyin lahadodi. V'heichi yalfinon mehadodi. So how indeed can we learn them out from each other? So Rashi explains. Ir hanidachas lahanach tarati loy damya lemeilaf. We can't surely possibly learn from ir hanidachas chakira is haksuvos bohen. all the investigations that are written with regard to it. Dedinu sheyu edim zaymimin v'yachid oivad avodah zarah srichim drishes ho'edim hamachayvin oisom. I understand that you need lots of drishes v'chakiris in the other two parshas. Mishum dekilim, because they're more lenient. In what way they're more lenient? Shekein mamoinon polat. Their money is saved. Nobody says you have to wipe out the money of an oivad avodah zarah, or the Edim Zeimimin for that matter. Aval Eir HaNidachas Techamira. But Eir HaNidachas is certainly considered more stringent. Why? Shekein Mamoinom Ovad. Because in the case of Eir HaNidachas, the money is destroyed as well. Is Loi Teisi Be'yalam Chakire So Amuros Bo. So therefore, maybe we should be more Machmir. If we're more Machmir, remember we said yesterday, the more chakiris that there are, the more lenient it's going to be. Why? Because the more we investigate, the more we interrogate the Eidim, the more chance there is of them being caught out. And therefore, in the case of Eir HaNidachas, where we're very machmir, why should we give so many investigations? If the Torah is very machmir with Eir HaNidachas, Haraya, you see that not only are the individuals killed, but so too the money is also destroyed. So we see that there is very machmir. So who says you're supposed to give seven chakiris? Maybe less. The more chakiris, the more lenient. The less chakiris, the more chamor. Says Rashi, Shekein Besayof, Eir HaNidachas is Besayof. Ve'edim Zaymimin. The parish, the mashmash, me'idin al reitzeach. It's mashmash that we're talking about edim zaymin in the case of where they are testifying about a murderer, nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin. V'inami mishtoi b'kol edim zaymin, even if it's a general rule for edim zaymin, but yesh mehen skila, that's true, but mi'o hoil v'yesh mehen b'sayef. Certainly, sometimes it is b'sayef, is lo ya'achmir kro alayu. Again, Sayef is considered a less chomor punishment. So we see the Torah is lenient. And that's why we've got to thoroughly investigate the Eidim. Or finally, Shekein Sorech Hasro Hanach Tarati. Both Eidim, both Eir HaNidachas, and an individual being Oved Avodah Zarah always needs Hasro. Edim Zaymimin, as mentioned, does not need Hasra at all. Diksiv Ka'asher Zomam, as they plotted to do, finished. That is their punishment. They have to get punished in the same way as the individual would have been punished. He would have been punished for killing without Hasra, so to him as well. So in the bottom line, what's the final analysis? What's the Gemara asking? Gemara's asking Akasha. What right do we have to compare and contrast Edim Zaymimin to Eir HaNidachas to an individual being Oved Avodah Zarah? They're not the same. Each particular case has its leniency. So when the Torah is lenient, then we understand that it's true. We should maybe set up now a lot of drishas v'chakiris in order to try and exempt him. But the other cases are more chamor. So what gives you a right to now compare all of the cases together? Answers the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Behetev, Heitev, Yalfinon, Mehadadi. It's not just a comparison based on the similarity, rather it's a comparison based on a gzeira shava. What's the gzeira shava? The fact, if you turn to the bottom of the previous page, the very last two lines, you'll see that with regard to all three parashiyos, which word is mentioned every single time? The word heitev. There are a number of different ways that one could derive A from B. If the Torah writes a particular halacha in A, What right do we have now to extrapolate that and apply that to B? There are various mechanisms. One is by comparison. By comparison. So, for example, nobody is going to tell you, if the Torah says you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so maybe you're also not allowed to cook on Tuesday. If the Torah says you're not allowed to build a building on Shabbos, so maybe you can't build a building on Tuesday. So everybody will say, why would I compare that? There's no comparison. Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh and Tuesday is not Kodesh. So obviously there's no comparison there. So I'll try my luck with something else. I'll say, okay, if the Torah says that you cannot build a building on Shabbos because it's Shabbos Kodesh, so maybe you also can't build a building on Yom Tov. Ah, that's a good comparison. Yom Tov is also a day which is Kodesh. Unless then you would turn around and say, no, maybe I've got a pircha, maybe I could differentiate between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, but at least there's what to discuss because there definitely is common ground, Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, that's one type of limud by which you can extrapolate one halacha from another by virtue of comparison. There is now a totally different way, and what's that called? Gzeira Shava. What does Gzeira Shava mean? You've got a word written in Parasha A, you've got a word written in Parasha B, so therefore I compare them, not based on similarity, but rather based on the fact that the Torah went out of its way to write a common word between Parasha A and Parasha B. That is what gives me license and the mandate to compare them. So you can ask a pircha when you're comparing them. When I'm extrapolating by comparison, then you can ask a pircha. How can you compare them? They're not the same. But what happens if you have a gzeira shava? Can you ask a pircha on a gzeira shava? It's written the word heitev over here. It's written the word heitev over there. Can you ask a pircha? So that we'll see in a moment. What is the halacha with regard to asking a pircha on the gzeira shava?
What's a pircha, Rabbi?
Huh?
What's a pircha?
Pircha means a refutation. So we said before, if you want to compare Ir harni dachas to avodah zarah, I've got a pircha, I can refute it because it's not comparable. One, the money is destroyed. One, the money, okay. Those are all good logic. They're all good pirchas. They're refutation as long as you are extrapolating by comparison. So by definition, they've got to be comparable. The minute I can find a distinction, then maybe it's no longer comparable. So therefore we can discuss that. But if I have a pircha on a gzeira shava, as we'll see in a moment, we'll discuss this in a couple of moments, that has a different set of rules. Okay, so for the moment, everything is good. The word heitev is written three times, both in Edim Zomerin and in Avodah Zarah and in Ir HaNidachas. All three places, you've got heitev, heitev, heitev. That is a gzeira shava. And once there's a gzeira shava, that gives me the license, therefore, to compare and contrast and say it's irrelevant now whether based on logic they are comparable because I'm not trying to compare them. Remember, a gzeira shava is not a comparison. A gzeira shava says if it's written A in parasha number one and it's written A in parasha number two, then the Torah is telling you to compare and contrast. But I'm not comparing them based on logic. Yes.
Isn't it true that you can only learn one thing from a word meaning? We already learned that heitev comes in she'ela because she'ela is mild. So heitev comes to teach you that it's deep. So how can you then say it's here to?
Okay, we'll see. The one is about to discuss this. So have a look at Rashi. But heitev yalfinon mehadodi v'gzeira shava mufnehu. Now we need to introduce Moira Avraboisai, a very important rule. And this has direct ramification on what Larry just pointed out. We know, as mentioned, that we can learn a limud based on a gzeira shava. A gzeira shava, a word is written here, a word is written there, and therefore we copy and paste the dinim and compare. But there are different types of Gzeirah Shavas. There's what is called a Gzeirah Shava Mufneh and a Gzeirah Shava which is not Mufneh. Mufneh means panui, open. The word that you are on the lookout for, which is written in parasha number one, parasha number two, parasha number three, is that an open word, meaning it's a spare word? Or perhaps not. It's not a spare word. If it's not a spare word, you're allowed nonetheless to make a gzeira shava. So what's the difference between whether the word is spare, whether the word is not spare? Whether you're allowed to ask a pircha. If the word is spare in parasha number one and parasha number two, so there's no pirchas. Even if they're not comparable, it's totally irrelevant. If the Torah went out of its way to write an extra word which has no other limud, then you know what the Torah is telling you? You must compare these two, period. I don't care if they're not comparable. So whatever it says in A applies also to B, period. If, however, the Gezeirah Shavah is not mufneh, which means that the words, in fact, are not superfluous. The word must be there. You're still allowed to dash an Gezeirah Shavah. But then, if you have a pircha, you may ask the pircha. Now, we've already established that these three parashas that we're discussing, there's a pircha. They're not identical. They're not absolutely comparable. So therefore, a gezeira shava is only going to help me if what? If it's mufna. So then you're right. If it's mufna, then all my questions are irrelevant. One's hasron, one's the money, and one's the saif, all irrelevant. The Torah is telling you, you must compare these parashas, come what may, period. So therefore, merely to tell me that I've got the word Heitev and Heitev and Heitev three times and there's a Gzeira Shava, that's unfinished business. That's only a half answer. Why? Because you have to finish off the sentence by telling me and proving to me that it's Mufne. The words Heitev are spare. Because if they're not spare, then I'm immediately going to jump up and down and say, excuse me, we just had a pircha 5 minutes ago, and I'm allowed to ask a pircha on a Gzeira Shava if it's not mufna. So look back in the Gemara. Look back in the Gemara. The first word on the line is tzrichim. Says the Gemara, behetev, heitev, yalfinon. I'm going to learn this out from a Gzeira Shava entitled heitev, heitev, meadodi. And now look what the Gemara adds. The Gezeira Shava Mufne. I've got good news to tell you that this particular Gezeira Shava called Heitev Heitev is indeed Mufne, as we're about to prove in a moment or two. Why must the Gemara point this out? Says the Gemara, De'iloi Mufne. Because if were it not to be Mufne, then I'm sorry to tell you, you're in trouble. Ikelamifrach, then you can ask a pircha. And the Gemara doesn't even bother telling you what that pircha would be because we've just mentioned it in the previous line. Look at Rashi. Behetev, hetev, yalfinon mehadodi, vegzeira shava mufnehu. It is indeed a gzeira shava, which is mufneh kedemafarish va'ozil, as the Gemara is about to explain. And if that's the case, ve'ein meshivin oleho. If that's the case, you can't be meshiv. You can't refute it. Why not? Shezu hi mido batayro. This is one of the midos. This is one of the decoding rules of the Torah. Gezeira shava hamufna. If you have a gezeira shava, which is mufna, which means the words are spare, lemaidin. You learn halacha from it, ve'ein meshivin, and you have no license to refute it. I don't care whether it's comparable. If there will be a halacha written in the parasha of Shabbos and the same word written in the parasha of Lulav, you'd have to compare them. What are you going to tell me? Excuse me, Shabbos has nothing to do with Lulav. Not interested, irrelevant. If it's mufna, then the Torah is telling you necessarily compare and contrast, copy and paste the halachas from one to another. Says the Gemara, this is a classic case in point. It is mufne. But were it not to be mufne, says Rashi, ikel mifrach, then we could have asked a pircha. Really, which pircha could have we asked? Says Rashi, kedu porachinam, exactly as we did 3 minutes ago. The Gemara just said there are various pirchas that we could ask. Sayof, hasra, Momoin, there's plenty of distinctions that we can definitely make to say, to argue the point that they're not really comparable, says Rashi, quoting the Gemara, that's all irrelevant because I'm not claiming that they're comparable. I'm not learning the halacha based on comparison. I'm learning the halacha based on a gzeira shava mufne. So now, of course, the remaining work is to work out why indeed is it mufne. Are these words heitev really spare? Apparently so. And it's what the Gemara now says. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate in the art scroll? La'aye afnuye mufne.
Indeed, the
Indeed,
words.
la'ayin.
So, am I wrong? Indeed, the words in this Gezeirah Shavah are certainly free for interpretation.
Right. So, in other words, as we've just explained, in our particular case, because there really are pirchas, well, then the only way that this gezeira shava can be functional is if it is mufne. Says the Gemara, I've got good news to tell you, la'aye, which means indeed it is so, it is mufne. So could you please prove to me, says the Gemara, that the words heitev are indeed spare? So let's go slowly. Says the Gemara, mid havalei lemichtav, v'dorashu v'chokru. We're starting with Edim Zoymamin. Okay, we're starting with Edim Zoymamin. So now, Rabbi Sa, we're going to have to turn back and forward the whole time to the last line in the previous Gemara. So look at the last line of the previous Gemara. The last line of the previous Gemara, in fact, it's the last words on the Amud, said, V'dorshu ha-shoftim heitev. So how many words have we got there, besides the shoftim, obviously? We've got V'dorshu and heitev. Now, we said, Dorshu, by definition, means thorough investigation. So heitev is the optimum word. That's another investigation, that's two. Why did it need to write? How many words are there in the Hebrew language for thorough investigation? Well, we know there's a word called drisha, and there's the word of chakira, like we had in the previous pasuk, v'dorashta v'chokarta. Those are the classic two words which both denote thorough investigation. So instead of writing v'dorashu heitev, we could really have written v'dorashu v'chokru. V'dorashu v'chokru. So the word heitev is out of place. Why did the Torah need to write the word heitev in the parash of Edim Zoymamin when it could easily have used the more usual word, which is indeed the words that are written in Irani Dachas, v'dorashta v'chokarta? Why didn't it do that? So you see, the Torah has made an extra change. Instead of writing the Dorashu v'chokru, what did it write? The Dorashu heitev. So that word heitev is now considered to be mufne because it didn't need to be there. There would have been a much more simple and classic alternative. Says the Gemara, therefore, Mishum. I'm sorry, Mipnei Mida Havalei Lemichtav V'Dorashu. It could have written, and not just could have, it should have, and the Torah does indeed do this in other places. Right, V'Dorashu V'Chokru, V'Shani Kra B'Dibure. And yet the Torah went out of its way to change the classic usage of the words and use instead the non-classical word of what? Of Behetev. Quote unquote, Shma Mina La'afnuye. So therefore, what the Torah is trying to teach me over here is that this is spare, not spare in the sense that the word is meaningless, but spare as in meaning that it's darshanable. Because the very fact that the Torah made this unusual, seemingly unnecessary change of phraseology, why did it need to write v'dorashu heitev? Right, v'dorashu v'chokru, that's the normal expression. So therefore, okay, that's one out of three. Edim Zemimin is definitely mufne, says the Gemara. V'akati mufne mitzad echad hu. Is it mufne on all sides? Remember, we need all three heitevs to be spare. Bishloima hanachtarati. I understand in Edim Zemimin and also in the case of Avodah Zarah. Again, what did it say in the case of Avodah Zarah? If you turn back, it says, V'dorashta heitev. Again, a strange phrase. Why didn't it use the more classic phrase of V'dorashta v'chokarta? That's the normal phrase. Instead of doing that, the Torah said something else, V'dorashta heitev. That's unusual. Okay, great. That's the second heitev now, just being proven to be mufne. So I understand that in the case of Edim Zomimim and in the case of Avodah Zarah, by virtue of the fact that the Torah did not use the usual expression of Drisha v'chakira, but instead switched one of them to heitev, that now frees it up and allows it to be darshan for Gzeira Shava with no refutation. But what about, and here comes the tricky part in Irani Dachas. What did it say in Irani Dachas? Turn back again. V'dorashto, v'chokarto, v'sha'alto heitev. Now here we're in trouble. What did you want the Torah to write? I've already written v'dorashto. I've already written v'chokarto. So you can't say, use the words drisha v'chakira because the Torah has done. Now we're looking for another expression. The only expression that we could possibly come up with is the sha'alto. Remember we explained yesterday, the sha'alto is a very tame word. The sha'alto doesn't mean thorough investigation, it just means ask. So there you have to add the word heitev to in order to explain that the sha'alto doesn't mean a regular normal question, hello, good morning, how are you, what's the time? Rather, it means the shalta heitev. You're going to ask him really well. So it's not spare. So it's true in the case of Edim Zomimin Avodah Zarah, the word heitev was a strange word. There's nothing strange about it here, says the Gemara. Elo ir hanidachas mai havalei lemichtav. What should it have been written? Hoksiva kulu. It's already written all of the classic words. It's written drisha. And it's written chakira. I've got nothing left in the tank. The only possible spare word is v'sha'alto, but then you have to qualify it with heitev. So heitev is not spare.
By the way, Rebbe, if heitev is spare in Irani Dachatz, that means that the number goes to four and not three.
No, that was said yesterday. V'sha'alto heitev is not two words.
No, but that's the point. But that's the point. If it's not spare, if you don't need it, that means that the sha'alta has value, and you just brought it for a specific thing to make the gezeirah shava.
I've already written the darashta number one. I've written the chakarta. What do you want the Torah to write next?
Now, okay, but now you're saying the sha'alta was weak, so they brought heitev. But if they don't need heitev because it's extra, that means the sha'alta has koach.
No, but that's the
has,
it's not extra.
The has koach, then there's
not extra. No, but that is the Gemara's kasha. That the word heitev in that particular case is not extra. I cannot do away with
it. If sha'alta has koach, therefore, then it's four words, so it makes it 4-2-2 and not 3-2-2. That's the whole point.
It's not 4-2-2. There are only three expressions in that posuk of thorough investigation. Dorashta, chokarta, and the sha'alta heitev. Those are the only three expressions. Otherwise, if it would just say the sha'alta, that's not thorough investigation. It would just say, means you have to say hello to him, good morning. So it's dorashta, chokarta, sha'alta heitev. But the word heitev in that expression, therefore, is not spare. Because had it not written it, it would have meant something else completely. So therefore, asks the Gemara, hok siva kulu. It's written everything. Every possible word in the Hebrew language to mean thorough investigation has been used. So what did you want the Torah to do? There's no spare words. There's no alternative. Says the Gemara, yes, there is. Really? Are you going to come up with a new word? No. But aren't we all familiar, Rabbi said, that very often the Torah writes a double expression. Sa'oik Yitzak. Hashbeya Hishbiya. Says the Gemara, Hosam Nami Afnuye Mufna. It is spare. There is something unusual there. Mide Havaleila Michtav. Because you know what it could have written? Droish Tidroish. Oi, chakoir tachkoir, which in English they normally translate as you shall surely do the following.
Then why is Shalta there at all?
So there, that's the moral shaila. So therefore, because it could have written deroish deroish or chakoir tachkoir, and I never ever needed to ever include the word the shalta. Remember, once I bring in the word sha'alta, I'm landing myself in hot water because I'm going to have to now drag in the word heitiv. Otherwise, sha'alta just means you say hello to him. So why did I get myself in the mess in the first place? Why didn't I just say, okay, I need to write three expressions. Ah, you only know two. So write one of them as a double phrase. Deroish deroish. Or hakar tachkar. Veshani kra bediburei. And yet the Torah did, after all, change its lashon behetev. Shma minol afnuye, a phenomenal piece of Gemara. It is spare after all. It was unnecessary. What was your kasha? Well, it is necessary. There are no more words known to us in the Torah that mean thorough investigation. So once I've said two, I've run out. No, because you could have written one of them as a double expression. Have a look at Rashi.
Couldn't you have written v'chakira heitev? Why did you have to read v'chakira v'sha'alta heitev? If you just would have written v'darashta v'chakarta heitev, it would have been the same thing. What is sha'alta? What is sha'alta doing?
No, because had it written v'darashta v'chakarta heitev, oh yeah, I could have written that. Yeah, that also would have been spare. Yeah, quite right. Okay.
So therefore, we have to understand why sha'alta is there.
Right. Fair question. Let's just finish off Rashi because we're running out of time. Says Rashi, Mida Havaleila Michtav, because we could have really written Be'edim Zaymin, the Doroshu V'chokru, the Shani Bedibure, and it changed its wording, Behetev Shma Minod Shinuya, Delishna, the change of expression, Lafnuye, is clearly teaching us that the word is open, V'ikka Kra, L'drosha Dominyana. So obviously the main purpose then is to teach you the magic number, to compare the numbers. Says Rashi, Bishleim hanach tarati avid zara, ve'edim zaymamin deloy ksiv behu chakira. So then you're right. Motzis lameima, you could then have a good claim that mida havalei lemichta of loshen chakira, because it could have written as a loshen of chakira, motzis lameima, mida havalei lemochta of loshen chakira, because of heitev, because instead it wrote this funny word, heitev, shinuya delishna hu la'akushe l'shoinois. Obviously, the change in expression is telling you that you must compare the various parashas, shteyen, both of them, l'midrash be'gzir shofa. But what about irani dachas? Ela irani dachas, t'ksiv be'y v'dorashto v'chokarto, is my havalei l'michtav. What could it possibly have been written instead of b'mkoim heitev l'minyana? What else? There's no other words. The answer is, there is. Shma minola afnuye, because it wrote the sha'alto heitev, instead of saying, deroish, deroish, chakoir, chakoir. Therefore, shma minola afnuye. So clearly, this is the Torah's mandate, but it's opened up. You must now compare them. Litein es ha'omur shel zeh, bezeh. You must now copy and paste anything that's written over here to over there. V'ikka, Sheva, Bakulu, and they're all together seven. So it's true. In that pasuk of Vodorashta V'chakarato, it could have written Vodorashta V'chakarato Heitev. That also would have got to the same conclusion. But say that. So Vodorashta V'chakarato Heitev is the same as Vodorashta V'chakarato V'sha'alto Heitev. Either way, the question would be, why did the Torah ever, ever need the word Heitev? Could have just written Daroish, Daroish, Tachkoir. or Doroish Chakoir Tachkoir, without the word Heitev. Because the Torah went out of its way to incorporate the word Heitev, the Torah is saying, please note that there is a change of expression, there is a seemingly unnecessary word, this is to be made for Gzeira Shava, and therefore no Pirchas allowed.
And therefore we learn from that Gzeira Shava, seven questions, seven.
Right.
So again, so now I'll come back and say, since you could have written V'darashta V'chakarta Heitev, the fact that they put Sha'alta in there leads me to think that it's four and not three.
Because Sha'alta can never be, you write an extra word, it's a kasha, but I agree. But you cannot learn thorough investigation from the word Sha'alta. Sha'alta is doesn't mean thorough investigation. Sha'alta Heitev is an expression which
right,
means
so,
thorough
but
investigation.
In economics, I'm saying, so why the Torah bring the word? To teach
good
you.
Kasha. Fair question. I can't make up my own drosha when it doesn't mean that. You're right, it's a fair question.
It should be eight questions and not seven.
It can't be eight because there's no two expressions of thorough investigation. Rather, the Torah used an expression made up of two words. You're asking, why do I need two words? I could have done it on day one. Fair question. But that doesn't now give me license to learn two questions of thorough investigation because Mishael Tehitev is only one. That's an expression which means.
So you're saying so you're saying bringing Sha'alta on its own has no is not
right.
A thorough investigation.
It's like saying good morning, exactly.
So and all the other seven and all the other seven words mean thorough.
Drashta, Karata, Darshu, yeah, 100%.
Heitev, they all mean thorough. So that
right.
Extra word, because it's mild, cannot possibly be one of the type of questions.
100%. 100%. 100%. Okay, we have to hold over here. A beautiful piece of Gemara.